Blog Talk Radio.
Fire Deliverance Ministry International. Hallelujah. It is so good to be back with the people of God. We've been experiencing some technical difficulties last week and even on Thursday night. We are here tonight and we are going to hear what thus saith the Lord. Now, let me give you a little bit of background information on this ministry. The Lord birthed this ministry in 2005, and he gave me the name. I was on a five-day fast, and he gave me the name Walls of Fire. And I looked it up in the Bible, and that's found in Zechariah 2:5. It says, "For I saith the Lord will be a wall of fire round about her, and my glory shall be in the midst of her." And so he gave me not only the ministry, but the name of the ministry. So we are Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. And we heard it in different countries. I've traveled in different countries. And the Lord is just being glorified in this ministry. So, if you would like to contact us, feel free to. You can find us on the internet at www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. If you would like to call us, our number is 336-830-0601, or you can contact us, you can email us. That email address is jet245@msn.com. If you are being blessed by this ministry, I believe that you should sow where you are being fed. So if you are being spiritually fed through this ministry and would like to sow into this ministry, I want you to know that this is good ground and you can sow into this ministry. Our phone number, the number to sow, you can sow through PayPal or through Zelle. And the phone number for both and Zelle, the ID is JET245@msn.com. That's the ID. Okay? So when you put that in, it'll come directly to me. All right? And if you'd like to mail us a letter, feel free to do so. We have a post office box. It is P.O. Box 1148, Walkertown, North Carolina, 27105, 4123. And we would be happy to hear from you. We love to hear from our listening audience. We love to take your calls. You can also submit a prayer request on our website, and we will be happy to pray for you. If you want to call us, we'll be happy to pray with you. All right, I'd like to invite you to our prayer line. We have a prayer line called the Sweet Hour of Prayer, Monday through Saturday at 12 noon, and on Sunday at 8 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time now, so you will have to adjust your time based on whatever time zone you're in to Eastern Standard Time. And the number for the Sweet Hour Prayer is a prayer line, and you call in and join us by phone. It is 425-436-6333, and the access code is 716-5050, followed by the pound sign. Again, the Sweet Hour Prayer is Monday through Saturday at 12 noon. We pray for 1 hour. And on Sunday night at 8 p.m., we pray for 1 hour Eastern Standard Time. The phone number is 425-436-6333. The access code is 716-5050. And follow it with the pound sign. And that will get you directly into the prayer line. All right? We're going to get into tonight's message. The enemy has really been trying to keep me from sharing this message, but I believe it is an important message, and I believe that, as a matter of fact, it is essential. The title of tonight's message is There is Power in the Blood of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit has led me to preach this message here recently because we don't hear much talk anymore about the blood of Jesus in our churches. We've gotten away from the blood. People are now more into entertainment or self-help stuff, that motivational type speaking. And we need to get, and the church is in bad shape. The church, as we know it, is in bad shape. When you see people walking it out in the house of God, and doing all these other sexual gyrations in the house of God, you know that the church is off track, and we need to get back on track. We need to go back to the basics. And the basis, our salvation, is the blood. So we need to go back to the blood. When the church got away from the blood, it was because we were distracted by the prosperity gospel, which is not a gospel of the Bible. It's a false message. And so people started preaching that. People started flocking to that because everybody wanted to hear that they were about to get wealthy. And the truth of the matter is that nobody got wealthy except those who were preaching the prosperity gospel, and they have absconded with the money that belonged to the saints of God. So we want to get back to the basics tonight. We want to get back to the blood and to the cross, because our salvation hinges on the blood. Without the blood, we have absolutely nothing, absolutely nothing. So I know the Holy Spirit has led me to preach on the blood. I am going to do so until he tells me to stop. Now, there are three distinct things that I have learned about blood in the Bible. Leviticus 17 and 11 tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And that is also repeated in Deuteronomy 12 and 23. It's reiterated, said it in a different way, but it's still the same thing. It says, be sure that you don't eat or drink the blood, for the blood is the life. That is why when a person is deceased, morticians drain the blood out because that life was in the blood. And since that individual is no longer alive, the blood must be drained out. All right? And Leviticus 19 and 26 tells us, again, you shall not eat anything with the blood. Now, I know a lot of people like their steak red. I don't eat steak for one thing. And if I were to eat it, it would definitely not have all that blood in it, because the Bible gave some clear instructions about how to prepare food, and that the blood must be drained completely out. That was one of the instructions. Leviticus 15 and 19 through 25, and I'm going to read that in a minute. Let me just turn there now. Leviticus 15 and 19. Okay. Yeah, let me just go to this now, because I'm going to start somewhere and then I'm going to go somewhere else. So Leviticus 15, actually, I'm going to start at Luke first, Luke chapter 8, and then I'll go over to Leviticus. So if we look at Luke chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 43 and go down to verse 48. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched, and that word means stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace. Now, when we look at this passage of scripture, we see Jesus here, a woman approaches him. And this woman has a problem. She has an issue. And her issue is that she has been having a menstrual cycle for 12 long years. Now, I want to go over here to Leviticus chapter 15, verses 19 through 26, so that you can get some background information concerning this. It says, if a woman have an issue, and her issue be in her flesh, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whosoever touches anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And if it be on her bed or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until the evening. And if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. So we can see from this that according to the Mosaic law, which dealt specifically with a woman's menstrual cycle, we get a better understanding this woman's predicament in Luke chapter 8. Not only is she having a lengthy menstrual cycle, and there are Mosaic laws that she must follow, she is having this issue of blood and has had it for 12 long years. Now, that's problematic. The problem is that she cannot touch anyone. No one can touch her. She cannot think, and anything that she touches shall be unclean. And everywhere she has to be put outside of the camp. She has to be separated from the rest of the tribe. And she can only return when her days of separation have ended. But this woman has had a menstrual cycle for 12 long years. So There is no end in sight. But apparently, this woman heard about a man named Jesus. Glory be to God in the height. We can see how this woman has suffered and how she has endured all these. You know, I tell you, as a woman, I wonder, how did she get her groceries? How did this woman go to the market and get her food? Because she cannot go around people. Anything that she touches and anyone that touches her is considered unclean. And she has to cry, unclean, unclean, everywhere she goes. So her, not only does she have this problem, but this problem creates other problems for her according to the Mosaic law. So we are better able to understand how her bleeding lasted 12 long years and what this woman went through. We can all relate to her in some way. Now, not everybody. I'm talking to the women that are listening tonight. First, we can relate to her because she was a woman. And secondly, we can relate to her because she had an issue of blood. She had a monthly menstrual cycle. But hers never ended. Now, I want to park my car right here for a minute because I remember a few years back, I want to say with the last 10 years, there was a commercial that came out and it advertised a medication. And this medication was something new on the market. And it was supposed to be the answer to every woman's prayers because it had these women dressed in yellow swimming suits and they were synchronized, all dive into the pool one by one. And it was just beautiful to look at because, like I said, they were synchronized swimmers. And that takes a whole lot of skill. But the commercial was based on defiance. It said, who said that a woman has to have a monthly menstrual cycle? Well, the first time I saw the commercial, I was disturbed by it because I said, God said, he set all that in motion. He set the sun in its place, the moon in its place, the ocean in its place. He said to Job, where were you when I did all these things? Where were you? And of course, Job could not answer. So that same question applies to us. Where were we when God created the heavens and the earth? Who are we to question what God has a commercial questioned it? Not only did it question it, but actually defied what God had set in motion by saying, who said? And it was like these women were shaking their fists in the face of God. Well, I want to tell you something. You have to see the end of a thing before you really judge it. But in my spirit, I already knew this wasn't going to be good. So many women went out and bought this pill. They got this pill and they started taking it. And it would make them have a monthly, a menstrual cycle. Not once a month, but once a year. Well, who doesn't want that? A whole lot of women jumped on that bandwagon. I wasn't one of them. But nevertheless, it wasn't long before these women started mysteriously dying. Why? Because they had come against and tried to defy what God have established concerning our bodies. No, we don't like our menstrual cycle. But guess what? The creator of heaven and earth established it. He set it up and he established it. And you know what? It is what it is. You don't look at the manufacturer of a radio or a TV and tell him that he made the product wrong. He's the manufacturer. And if you got a problem, that's where you need to go. You go back to the manufacturer. I had heavy, 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 and lengthy menstrual cycles. Mine lasts from 7 to 9 days and were very heavy and were very painful. But I endured it. Why? Because it was a part of what God established. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So this woman, she endured much suffering. She endured much pain. She had to endure this menstrual cycle issue. Now, some women have mild 3-day menstrual cycles, 5 to 7 days. Like I said, mine were long, mine were heavy, and for 9 days. So I can really relate to this woman. What if her issue was something else, though? What if her issue wasn't a menstrual cycle? Now, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that means we all got issues. It may not be an issue of blood, but you got an issue. Maybe your issue is lying. Maybe your issue is stealing. Maybe your issue is lust. Maybe your issue is jealousy and envy. Maybe your issue is you're struggling from low self-esteem. Maybe your issue is you've been abused as a child. Maybe your issue is that you're an orphan. You have no parents. Maybe your issue is being rejected. Maybe your issue is just one of these things on this list. Maybe your issue is drugs or alcohol. Whatever your issue is, there is one who can solve it, and his name is Jesus. Now, the scriptures tell us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So no matter what our issue is, we all got issues because all have sinned, were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And sin is a real issue. See, no matter what your issue is, if you get to the root of it, sin is the real issue. Sin is the problem. If you're a liar, sin is the problem. If you're a thief, sin is the problem. If you're a whoremonger, sin is the problem. If you're a prostitute, sin is the problem. Sin is your issue. No matter what the manifestation is, sin is the underlying issue. Every man, since the beginning of time, was born in sin. And ever since sin entered the world, man has sinned against God. We sinned against God in the garden, and sin entered the world. And sin has been the issue of humanity. As I said, we were all born in sin because we are the descendants of Adam. We were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity, all born under the penalty of sin and death. Now, this woman who had suffered for 12 long years, the Bible says that she had spent all her money. She went here and there and everywhere. She went to the doctors. She took their medications. She was being poked and prodded. But the Bible says that she grew none the better, but worse. As the years went by, she got worse and worse. Glory be to God. Can you imagine, if any women are listening tonight, can you imagine what this woman 12 long years of having a menstrual cycle. Can you imagine how weak her body was, how frail she was? Can you imagine? After 12 long years. But this woman would not give up. Glory be to God. She heard about a man named Jesus, and she heard that he was coming through town. Glory be to God. She heard that he was healing the sick, how he was opening blind eyes, and he was causing the lame to walk and the dumb to talk, and how he was raising the dead back to life. And this woman made a decision. Despite the Mosaic law, despite the fact that anyone who touched her would be unclean, despite the fact that anything that she touched would be unclean, despite the fact that everywhere she went, she had to cry, unclean, unclean, she made a decision. She said, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I believe I'll be made whole. This woman had faith. She had tried everything that she knew to try, and none of that stuff worked. You know, I can talk about that. When I was strung out on drugs, I went to every program that they told me to go to. I went to NA. I went to AA. They even made up one called CA for Cocaine Anonymous. I went there, but I couldn't get no relief. Glory be to God. You see, I had a deeper problem. My problem wasn't just drugs. My problem was sin. I needed to be born again. Yeah, I went to NA, and yeah, I went to AA, and I even went to CA, but I needed my BA. I needed to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. So I had to be born again. I had to be repent of my sins. I had to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Glory be to God in the highest. Hallelujah. I had to cry out to the Lord. I had to ask God to save me. I had to apologize to the Lord Jesus. I had to tell him how sorry I was for the way that I had sinned against him. I sinned in my body. I was strung out on crack cocaine. I was a prostitute in the street. I was homeless. I was in and out of jail. I was in and out of prison. Glory be to God. I was raped repeatedly, robbed, stabbed, and left for dead in an alley. But I met a man named Jesus one day. Glory be to God in the highest. And he changed everything. Glory be to God. One encounter with the Lord Jesus will change your life. This woman knew that if she could just get to Jesus, hallelujah, she had heard about Jesus. Glory be to God. Maybe it was the woman that Jesus met at the well who told her about him. Maybe she heard this woman say, come see a man named Jesus who told me everything that I ever done. Maybe it was one of the others. Glory be to God. Maybe it was Mary Magdalene that said, come see a man who cast 7 devils out of me. Glory be to God in the highest. Or maybe it was the parents of the boy who was deaf and dumb. Glory be to God in the highest. Maybe she heard how Jesus had healed the lepers. Glory be to God. Maybe it was the little girl, Talitha Kumi, who had been raised from the dead. Perhaps it was the woman who was caught in adultery. Glory be to God in the highest. And her sins were forgiven. And Jesus told her to go forth and sin no more. Maybe, my God, hallelujah, maybe it was the story about Lazarus, how he was in the grave for 4 days, hallelujah, and Jesus raised him from the dead. Glory don't know who it was. I don't know what it was. Perhaps he ran into blind Bartimaeus, who used to be blind. Good God Almighty. But he said, now I can see. All I know is I met a man named Jesus, and he put some spit on my eyes, and now I can see. Hallelujah. I don't know. I don't know how this woman heard about Jesus. Hallelujah. But I do know that she heard about him. And she made up her mind that if she could just get to Jesus. You see, that's what I call bulldog tenacity. It would have been easy for this woman to give up after 12 years. Some people give up after 12 minutes. Some people give up after 12 days. Some people give up after 12 weeks. They said, I've done all I can. Doctors turn their head and walk away. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But just when the doctor gives up, when he says, I've done all I can, glory be to God, that's the right time for God to show up and show out. So this woman, after 12 long years, she made up her mind, if I can just get to Jesus. Now, she had a problem, though, because there was the Mosaic law. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. He said, I came to fulfill the law. So whenever he healed somebody, when he healed the 10 lepers, he told them to go show themselves to the priest and give their offering. So he didn't come to do away with what Moses taught. And that was what the Jews had such a problem with him. They thought he was doing away with what Moses taught. And they boasted. They said, we have never been slaves. We the seed of Abraham. They didn't know they was enslaved to sin. They didn't know that. Glory be to God. So Jesus came to set the captives free. And this woman knew that her hope lied in Jesus. Glory be to God. Boy, I wish the church knew this. I wish the people that are out there on the streets that are using drugs and that are shooting and killing and going through all kind of problems, abuse and abandonment, rejection and all these things, I wish somebody would tell them that no matter what you're going through, Jesus is the answer. Glory be to God in the highest. But this woman, she made up her mind. She said, if I can just get to Jesus. So her problem was how she was going to get around the Mosaic law. Glory be to God. She heard about Jesus of Nazareth, who was healing the sick, opening blinded eyes, making the dumb to talk and the lame to walk. And she knew, if I can just get to Jesus. But she said, but I know I'm unclean. I know I'm unclean. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a liar. I know I'm an adulterer. I know I am divorced. I know I'm evil. I know I'm wicked. I know I'm a sinful wretch. I know I got issues. But if I can just get to Jesus. You know, that's the part we have problems with today in the church. People don't want to acknowledge and confess their sins. People want to be self-righteous today. They say, I'm good. I don't bother nobody. I don't do this. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I go to church every Sunday, but they're not born again. And so we got preachers that try to preach them in heaven when they die. And they say, oh, he was a good guy. He gave you the shirt off his back. And in most cases, that's the problem. He should have kept his shirt on. So my point is that unless we acknowledge our sin. Let's look at 1 John. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John has something to say about that. I want to go there very quickly. 1 John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So all we have to do to come to Jesus is to repent, first of all, confess our sins, and then repent of them. And that is the problem. You know, I've seen churches today, they do things differently now. They're not even making altar calls. And when people come up for to the front of the church, they're not coming up for salvation. They say, who wants to join the church? How you going to join the church and you ain't even got saved? You're putting the cart before the horse. And people are leading them in a sinner's prayer and then telling them, you in the family of God now. There was no repentance, no godly sorrow, no tears. Just shook the preacher's hand and now you in. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. Where is the godly sorrow over your sin? Sin has to be repented of. It must be confessed and repented of. For the word of the Lord says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Not the preacher. He is Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We cannot put the cart before the horse just to get members in the church. We got to make this thing plain. We got to get back to the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the Lord said it this way in the book of Isaiah. Glory be to God. He said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, glory be to God in the highest, ye shall eat the good of the land. So we got to be willing and obedient to let God have his way in our lives by confessing our sins. You see, this woman knew she was not worthy to come near Jesus. She knew she was unclean. She knew. She had sin in her life, and we don't know what her sin was, but she was born in sin and shaping in iniquity. She knew that she was wicked and evil. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he told them to pray, deliver us from evil. You know, I preached that one time in a church, deliver us from evil, and a woman got mad at me and said, I'm not evil. I said, well, the Bible says you are. She got mad. Now, I know she's saying, well, I'm saved, but guess what? Paul said, when I would do good, evil is always present. She didn't want to admit that she was born in sinful, wicked, evil flesh. She didn't want to admit that. And that's the spirit of pride, though. There are countless people like that today. They want to justify themselves. They want to be like that Pharisee who prayed and said, Lord, I thank always somebody who will come up to me afterwards and say, well, I ain't never did all that, but can you pray for me? I mean, after the service is over, after the benediction. Now, they come up for prayer in front of everybody, but they say, well, I ain't never did all that, but can you pray for me? No. No, you should have came while I was under the anointing. You want to do a Nicodemus sneak back at night. Glory be to God. You're ashamed. So if you're ashamed, that means you must have some sin in your life. But you try to compare yourself, your story to mine. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it doesn't matter whether you're a liar or a thief. It does not matter. All sin leads to the same place, hell, unless you repent and be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the good news is that there's power. There is still power in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus still has the same power today that it had back then. Glory be to God. Power to redeem, power to heal, power to deliver. Glory be to God. Power to save. Hallelujah. It still has the same power. This is why the church must preach on the blood. This is why the blood has to stay the central focal point of the church. We don't need to preach nothing else but on the blood, because without the blood, we have nothing. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Glory be to God. We got to stay on the main thing. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We got to tell sinners about the blood. Glory be to God. You know, sinners feel hopeless. Many of them feel like giving up. They feel like they don't have no hope. Well, what's going to help me? The blood. We got to tell them about the blood. Hallelujah. But we've gotten away from that. An enemy have came in and sowed tares among the wheat. And we don't want to preach on the blood no more. We want to talk about everything else but the blood. Glory be to God of God. But the blood of Jesus is what's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus is what has made the difference in my life. It's the blood of Jesus. I had a divine encounter with the Lord Jesus. I was in the basement of the Forsyth County Jail. I was there doing the jail's laundry, folding sheets and towels. Glory be to God. And the officer that was in charge, there were six of us women down there working. And the officer that was in charge said that we could listen to the radio station of our choice for 1 hour. So this one girl, she called first. And I had to listen to country and western for a whole hour. And then I said, I'm second. And I wanted to hear the Christian station. And they put it on there. And I was set up by God. The very first song that came on the radio, I had never heard it before. It was a song by the Dallas-Fort Worth Mass Choir. And the words to that song said, I'm sorry. Forgive me, clean me up, and give me another chance. God used that song to break me there on the spot. I needed another chance. I knew that I was on my way to hell. I knew that if I died without the Lord Jesus, I was going to hell. See, nobody had to tell me, you're just like everybody else. We all going to heaven. No, nobody could tell me that lie. Because I grew up in Sunday school, so I knew about the Bible, and I knew about Jesus, and I knew about hell, because it's in the Bible. And I did not want to die and go to hell. As a matter of fact, I was dying. I was dying when I went to jail that time. I was so malnourished and so dehydrated that the officer that was booking me, I asked her for a plate of food, for a tray of food at 8 o'clock at night. Now, first of all, if you don't know anything about jail, nobody in their right mind asks for jailhouse food. But I asked for it at 8 o'clock at night because I hadn't eaten and I don't know when. And that woman took one look at me and she said, Janet, she said, if you'll let me finish processing you in, I promise you, I will bring you a tray of food. And she did. Ate that tray of food and I must have slept for 3 days straight. But while I was there, I was asked to come out and work. Work in that laundry room. And I went down there reluctantly. I didn't want to go. As a matter of fact, when the officer came and picked up the first crew, I told her I changed my mind. I don't want to go. And that woman came back for me. She said, you gave me your word, and that's what made me get up. Because I've always been that type of person. I've always, even in sin, I tried to keep my word. And so she said, you gave your word, and I did. And I got up, I got dressed, and I went with her. Went down there in that laundry room, and little did I know, I had a divine appointment with God that day. That song came on the radio, Another Chance. And I began to weep. I began to cry. Holy Spirit was working. He was working. Glory be to God. Conviction came over me like never before. Glory be to God. I wept uncontrollably. As a matter of fact, I put the sheets and towels down and walked over to the radio. And it was me and the Lord in that room. I didn't even care about the other women in that room. It was me and God. We were having a conversation. And I began to apologize to him. I began to tell God how sorry I was for the way that I had lived and how I had abused my own body and how I had almost completely destroyed my life. But I asked God, please don't let me die and go to hell. I said, God, if you'll give me another chance, I will serve you till I die. And instantly, I was like this woman. She was healed immediately, instantly. I knew that I was delivered. I was saved. I was set free. I knew I would never use drugs and alcohol again. I knew I would never be a street prostitute again. I knew that a change had come over me. Glory be to God in the highest. I had a divine encounter with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And he met me right there in the basement of the Forsyth County Jail. And he gave me another chance. So I know what it's like to be desperate. Because desperate people do desperate things. I didn't care about those other women that were over there at that table folding the laundry, the jail's laundry. I didn't care about them being in that room. As a matter of fact, I cried out so loud from the depths of my heart that an officer came from upstairs. He came downstairs in that basement, and he said, what in tarnation is going on down here? And those girls that I was working with in the laundry room, I never even acknowledged him. I never stopped talking to God. They told him, leave her alone. She's just talking to God. Do you know that man turned around? He was a man of authority. He could have locked me down. He turned around and went back up the stairs. He couldn't mess with that. That was me and God. I made a vow to God that day. The Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make one and don't keep it. And I promised God, if you'll save me, I will serve you till I die. Now, I didn't have an address. I was homeless. I didn't know if I was even going to be sent back to prison because I hadn't even been to court. I had lost custody of my children. So I didn't try to will and deal with God. I didn't say to God, if you'll give me a place to stay, I'll serve you. I did not ask God, if you'll not let me go back to prison, I'll serve you. I did not ask God, if you give me back my children, I will serve you. I simply said to God, if you will save me, I will serve you till I die. And I don't even remember how long I talked to God in that basement, in that laundry room that day. But I do remember when I got through, we were through, it was time for us to go back to our cell block. So those women that worked with me that day, they said to their cellmates when they returned to their cell, they said, you won't believe what happened to her down there in the basement. And they began to tell about that conversation I had with God. And they bet against me. They said, we give her 2 weeks and she'll be back on crack. They said, we give her 2 weeks and she'll be back prostituting. And somebody said, we give her 2 weeks and she'll be back in jail. But I want to give God some praise tonight because it's been 30 years that day down in the basement of the Forsyth County Jail where I had that divine encounter with the Lord Jesus. You see, that was my Damascus Road experience. That's where he met me. There is power in the blood of Jesus. I knew that I had been changed. One touch from the Lord, and my whole life changed in that one instant. So this woman, she was desperate. She heard about Jesus. She said, if I can just get to Jesus, I'll be made whole. So she had to crawl. She couldn't just walk up to him because of the Mosaic law. She had to get creative. She had to find a way to get to Jesus. And when you get desperate, you will find a way to get to Jesus. Glory be to God. You will. Glory be to God. Nobody have to tell you what to say. Nobody have to say, repeat after me. You will cry out from the depths of your heart. Lord, save me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, I'm ready. I surrender all. Glory be to God. And this woman got down on her knees. Desperate people do desperate things. And she crawled through the crowd because the Mosaic law said she couldn't touch anyone. So she had to crawl through the crowd. And she touched the hem of his garment. Now, the Bible says that the priests are to have fringes on their garments. And I have a few beliefs. And they have the fringes. Crawled through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus knew immediately. He said, who touched me? Now all these people are in this crowd. Everybody's crowded around Jesus. But they can't see this woman because she's on her knees. You see, this woman knows there is power. Power. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And she's desperate and she's willing to do whatever it takes. And she gets through that crowd and touches the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, who touched me? And Peter said, Lord, what are you talking about? All these people in here? What are you talking about? It's a crowd. What do you mean, who touched you? And Jesus said, virtue went out of me. He knew, hallelujah, that power had gone out of him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Power had gone out of him. And the woman stood up, because the Bible says she was healed immediately. And the woman stood up and said, it was me. She confessed. The Bible says she came trembling, fell down before him, and she declared unto him before all the people. She had broken the Mosaic law. She missed everything to get to Jesus. And she confessed it. She said, it was me. I touched you. And the Bible says, Jesus said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. You see, when we get desperate enough, we'll do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Because Jesus is the answer to all of life's problems. Everything that you are going through at this very moment, if you will just get to Jesus. You know, the new thing is now people going to see therapists. But these therapists, they can't help the people. These therapists, they don't have no power. They're just making money. You lay on the couch and tell them all what you're going through, and they listen for hours, and your hour's up. Then they get the next person in there. So it's a vicious cycle. It's like this woman. She had been to all these doctors and had taken all this medicine. And the Bible says she grew none the better but worse. And that's what the church is doing now. They say you need to go to counseling. The Bible don't say nothing about counsel, no demon. It said cast it out. We're trying to counsel what God said cast out. It's because we're trying to operate according to the traditions of men rather than what God said. He said, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Anoint them. Pray the prayer of faith over them. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, if you take up serpents, it won't hurt you. Now, I got to say something right here, because a lot of people got off in snake handling, and they ain't here no more. Lord never told us to take up, pick up snakes, deadly, poisonous. He never told us to do that. And people got bit by those snakes, and they ain't here no more. He was talking about if we were in danger. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then he said, if we drink any deadly thing, it will not harm us. That's divine protection. But he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. So what I'm finding out is that we have a lot of believers who don't believe. They say they believe, but when it comes down to it, you don't believe. You don't believe that Jesus is still healing today. You don't believe that he's still Now, I'm not telling you don't go see a doctor, but doctors nor their medication can heal you. Healing is the children's bread. Isaiah 53:5 says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood is not weak. It still has the same power today that it had back then. And Jesus purchased our healing with the 39 stripes that was on his back. Glory be to God in the highest. There is power in the blood of Jesus. And it is the most neglected thing today in the church. The church has gotten so far away from the blood that it don't resemble the church today. I preached a message one time. Where is the church that Christ died for? Where is it? Where's that church? There's power in the blood. Glory be to God in the sight. I've heard countless testimonies of people who received miracles in their life when doctors said it was over. Glory be to God. They still here today. The doctor's gone. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Power to redeem. Power to deliver. Power to set the captives free. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. Let me look at one last scripture, Revelation 12 and 11. And it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Who did they overcome? Satan. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You got to speak to yourself. You got to tell your flesh. You got to command your flesh to praise God. You got to command your flesh to obey the word of the Lord. Glory be to God in the highest. You got to speak to yourself and command your flesh to be healed in Jesus' name. Now, you got to believe it. It won't work if you don't believe it. Jesus said that he could not do many miracles because of their unbelief. These were people that saw the miracles. They saw him turn the water into wine. They saw him heal the demoniac. They saw him heal the 10 lepers. And still, they walked in unbelief. I'm here to tell you tonight, there is power in the blood of Jesus. And if you would just begin to cry out to God, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. If you would begin to get back to the blood, hallelujah! Glory be to God in the name. Hallelujah. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. I know I said that was the last scripture, but I'm going to give you this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is what it says. Hallelujah. It says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The body and the blood. His body was broken, but was shed for us. Glory be to God in us. Hallelujah. We got to get back to the basics, y'all. Get back to the blood. Get back to the cross. The last thing Jesus said before he gave up the ghost was, it is finished. It's a finished work. There's nothing missing, nothing lacking. It's a complete work. What Christ did on the cross, nobody can add to it. Nobody can take away from it. Finished work. It is finished. It's finished, y'all. The blood purchased my soul. Paid for my sins. That's why I can say I am redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the same blood that saved me can save you today. If you'll just cry out to him. If you're like this woman, or you find yourself in a situation similar to my own, if you would just cry out to God, pour out your heart to save you. Ask him to set you free. You know, they had this saying. They said, once a crackhead, always a crackhead. I'm here to let you know tonight, the devil is a liar. He whom the Son sets free, it's free indeed, and I'm free. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. What I like about that verse is the word whosoever, because that included me. A crack addicted, sinful, wicked wretch as myself was included in John 3:16. Glory be to God. Hallelujah! You know, the big word today is inclusion. Everybody wants to be included. John 3:16 includes you. You are included in John 3:16. Hallelujah. This woman was excluded from society because of the Mosaic law. But because the blood of Jesus, he was included. He received her healing. And Jesus commended her. He said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Hallelujah. He said, be of good cheer. Have made thee whole. Go in peace. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor, coming to you live tonight from Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. In closing with this, there is power in the blood of Jesus. May God bless you. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 through 21. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor bidding you all good night. And God bless you. Amen.